Hey, it's Pat. I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. In case you're not familiar with me, I've been helping people retire for over 20 years now, author of the book Save Your Retirement and host of the Save Your Retirement radio show. Our goal with this show is to provide you with valuable and timely information to help you plan your retirement or, if you're already retired, help you make the most of it. Ultimately, we want to help you use your money to accomplish your goals and dreams and to help you avoid any stress and fear with your finances and instead replace those with confidence and peace of mind. If you enjoy the show, make sure to subscribe so you won't miss future episodes. Also, if you'd like to give us a great rating, it would mean so much to us and it helps get the word out so we can share this valuable information with others. Thank you so much, and now here's this week's episode.
This radio show is a paid placement.
You've read his books.
You see him on television.
You follow him on social media.
And you can listen to him talk about life and retirement right here, right now.
He is Pat Struby, and this is Save Your Retirement, presented by Preservation Specialists.
Thanks for joining us today on Save Your Retirement with Pat Struby. I am Jen Rizak, happy to be here alongside Pat. He is the founder of Preservation Specialists, author of the books Save Your Retirement and The Retirement Secret, here today talking about the top signs you need a new advisor. If you dread trying to get through to your advisor, if you feel like your questions go unanswered, you might need to find someone new to help you with your financial plans for retirement, and you are in luck because, as I said, that is our topic here in this part of the show. Pat, we have this week's top five list. It comes from NerdWallet, so we go from five to one. We work our way backwards. The number five sign you need a new advisor. If your eye is already wandering, that could be a sign that you need a new advisor. What do you think of that?
Well, before I answer the question, I have to. Yes. I was just thinking that I think Nerd Wallet is probably a great nickname for me because, you know, I explain to the girls that when they say, "What do you do at work?" I say, "I help people with their money."
Yes.
So
and dads are nerds.
And I can be pretty dorky. So anyway, that was just a random thought. I mean, if you are working with a financial professional, before we even go through this list, Jen, I want to mention something, which is there's a very defensive nature in our industry of, you know, we're the best advisor or, you know what I mean? Like no one else can do what we do. And that's not how we feel at all. We know there are other good financial professionals. Mm. Now, sometimes they do something, they do very different work than we do. So it's important to understand those differences. But we always say the number one thing we want is we want you to find the best fit for you. And if that's us, that's awesome. But if it's not us, then why would we want to try and work together and, you know, fit a round peg into a square hole or vice versa, whichever way that thing goes.
Right.
So that's, I want to make sure I mention that because I think it's really, really important. So we're not in the business of trying to steal, you know, clients from other people or anything like that. What we are in the business of doing is trying to, if we are the best fit for someone, then we want to do a great job for them. So now if you are working with a financial professional and your eye is wandering, that's a pretty obvious sign that there's some type of misconnect and maybe you aren't a fit. And it might be something where there never was a fit and there's been challenges or frustrations. Or one of the things we hear all the time is, I thought I was getting a financial planner, but what I ended up getting was someone who manages my investments. But the other thing that can happen too is it could be that someone was a perfect fit for you, but now you're in a different stage of life. And that's, you know, we talk sometimes about the phases of life and the phases of investing. And if you are working with a growth investment advisor, that person may be well suited for you through most of your life, but that's not someone that should be handling your finances in retirement. So I think those are a few thoughts that I have on that subject of if your eye is wandering.
Well, and I think those lead us to several other of the items on the list here as well that really back up what you were just saying there, Pat, because the next one is if your advisor only calls when they want to make trades and you are at a retirement phase of life, that could be a sign you need to talk to someone new. Talk about why that's problematic, specifically for people who are getting close to retirement.
Mm. Well, there's actually a few things that come to mind there, Jen. One is always remembering that it always comes back to, you know, it's not about who gets the highest rate of return or anything like that. It's about accomplishing your goals. So what is the goal you have with your money? Now, if your goal is to have someone trading it and trying to grow it as fast as possible, then maybe it's okay that they're recommending trades. But for most people, that's not, at least most people that hire us, that's not their number one goal. Their number one goal is peace of mind, making sure that they know when they can retire, figuring out if they have enough to retire, figuring out how their money is going to last, making sure their family and loved ones are going to be okay if something happens to them. That's what's important to them. So that's the first thing that I would mention. The second one is alignment of interests. And this is one of those things that was kind of a dirty little secret in our industry for the longest time, which was, you know, the old stockbroker approach, which was to call you to make trades so they could earn a commission. Mm-hmm. Well, you're not really lined up on the same side of the table there, mm-hmm. right? And so that's why, you know, we wanted to have a fiduciary style relationship with our clients, which means we are contractually committing to helping you with what we believe is best for you at all times. And then the third piece of that kind of directly hits on what you were mentioning, Jen, which is if you're making trades and doing something aggressive or risky, maybe that's okay when you're 30 and maybe it's okay when you're 40. But if you are within a few years of retirement or you're retired, that could be extraordinarily dangerous because you don't have time on your side to, you know, go back and make that money back up again.
Yeah, that is such a great point. And when you talk about, Pat, this contact, if it's only happening when someone wants to make a trade, from someone who helps people with retirement, how often do you meet with your clients? How often should we be meeting with someone if we are at that retirement phase?
Well, and that's one of those things, Jen, that technology has been a tremendous blessing for us.
Yes.
Because some people like to have full, comprehensive, in-person hour-long meetings, you know, more often than others. But a lot of people, they like being able to do a Zoom call or a phone call, or maybe we can address things by email sometimes. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of a trickier, I would say, a gray area in our mind. If we are your comprehensive retirement planners, there's going to be communication and it's going to be unique to you. It's going to be custom to you. So we actually tailor that to the client, Jen. I actually ask people when they come into our office, are you more of a detail-oriented or more big picture-oriented person? Because I have people that have that engineering mindset that want to know every single detail and maybe do us their own side spreadsheet to compare against our retirement software, you know, but that gives them that confidence and that's okay. We have other clients, I always joke, they'll say, okay, here's my folders of stuff, just get the direct deposit in once a month and let me know if there's a problem. But the key is that you are getting communication from your financial team and they aren't putting you in a set it and forget it where you come in, they say, oh, we're going to put you in the moderate and then we'll talk to you later. So that's certainly something that I would say if you are working with someone and you're not hearing from them, if you're not getting proactive advice, that's definitely a great opportunity to maybe just get a second opinion. So you can do that by calling us at 803-9-RETIRE. We can either do a comprehensive review of the five areas of a comprehensive retirement plan and kind of help you see where you stand right now. Or if you're in a time crunch, we can also do a 15-minute phone review where we can quickly get to things that are on top of mind for you and a biggest concern. Either way, to get started, just call us now at 803-9-RETIRE.
Talking today with Pat Strube. He is with Preservation Specialists, going through our top five signs you need a new advisor. Another sign is if your financial situation is changing, but the advice isn't. Pat, every single time you have a question, it's always the same. What kind of changes need to be happening with our money when we get close to retirement?
Well, I think this is, we did touch on this a little bit earlier, but we do see situations where someone has a financial professional that's guiding them in investing their money to grow it as much as possible. And they may be very good at that. But at the same time, that's not usually the advice they need in retirement. Because if you think about investing in retirement is night and day different, right? If you're 40 years old, your goal is to accumulate as much as quickly as possible. If you're 65 and you're retired, that is not at all the number one thing. The number one thing is, I need money to live on this month,
right?
So I need to create income. Number two is, I want to preserve that sucker as long as I possibly can. So, you know, the income is the milk and the preservation of the principal is the cow, because you want to keep both of those for as long as you possibly can. And then the third goal then is either access for emergencies or growth, but those are down the line. And so you really need to make sure that the person you're working with is a fit. You know, just like I mentioned earlier, we always want it to be a fit. It's a fit for where you're at. And if someone, you know, calls us and says, hey, I'm 35, I'm looking for long-term growth investing, that's not our specialty. That's not what we do. And we would want to make sure you find someone that's a fit, because we would hate to bring you on as a client and then just, you know, not be fitting your needs. It just doesn't make sense. We want to help you find someone that's right for what you're looking for.
Pat, another sign that you need a new advisor, one of these top five signs, is if your financial advisor doesn't listen to you. And obviously that seems like a pretty big problem. How do you make sure your clients know you hear and understand their concerns?
Well, and I have to tell you, Jen, that the first thing that pops into my mind is literally when I very first got licensed and I became a financial advisor right out of college, I talked to my mom about it, and I didn't realize that they had begun working with somebody, my mom and dad did, and he literally never spoke to my mom.
Oh,
he
my
never
gosh.
Looked at her. He never paid any attention. Now, the irony of that is my mom was a CPA. She was pretty sharp financially, so it just kind of boggled my mind, and I thought, well, I'm thankful. I don't think I ever would have done that anyway, but I always remember that now. I would never forget that, and I wasn't raised that way, so I don't think that ever would have happened, but yeah, I mean, if, and of course, that's something that in any profession, you might deal with people who don't listen to you anyway, right?
Right.
So it doesn't mean it's just a man talking to a woman, but that's a classic example. And yeah, I mean, if your advisor is not listening to you, then that means you're not getting custom advice, right? It just means you're getting a boilerplate. And I don't know anyone who that's what their preference is. I think you really want to make sure you've got someone who's hearing from you, because once again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but the success of your plan is going to be accomplishing your goals. Mm-hmm. Well, if they're not listening to you, they don't know what your goals are.
Right.
So that just doesn't make sense at all.
The last one here, Pat, is if you're afraid to call your financial advisor, that is a sign that you might need to talk to somebody new. So final advice here today, Pat, what advice do you have for somebody who feels like they're just bothering their current advisor when they call with their questions?
Yeah, I mean, so the whole thing about, you know, handling your finances is that should be a long-term relationship. You know, we always say we're not looking to be your next advisor. We want to be your last advisor. We want to work with you, you know, for the rest of your life. We want to build a relationship, and we mean that, and that's good business on our part. But at the same time, that's by far the most rewarding part of what we do, you know, is when we have client parties and, you know, we see someone we've been working with for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. I mean, that's so fun to really, truly build a relationship. We see not only is it more fun and more rewarding, but it's more valuable to you too. You know, you're working with a team that knows who you are, that knows what you're trying to accomplish, and knows how to help you answer those big questions of how much can I spend in retirement and will my family be okay? You know, those are the kinds of things that most people are really thinking about all the time. And so we have a lot of people that hire us who have never worked with a financial professional, but we also have a lot of people that come in to get a second opinion, and we're always happy to do that. And it's not about bashing what anyone else is recommending or doing. It's about just an objective review and helping you see if what you're doing is on the path to accomplish your goals. If that would be of value to you, call us now at 803-9-RETIRE. We can do a comprehensive 5-step retirement review, or we could do a 15-minute phone call review, whichever is best for you. Either way, just give us a call now to get started at 803-9-RETIRE.
This is Save Your Retirement with Pat Struby. We've got a lot more coming up on the other side of the break, so stay tuned. We'll be back.
John Farley here. According to the U.S. Debt Clock, in the time you hear this commercial, our nation's debt will go up by $1.5 million. That's more than $2 billion a day, $15 billion a week. Right now, our debt is over $31 trillion and climbing fast. The question is, how do we pay it off? The answer, increasing taxes. Now think about your retirement accounts. Do you want to pay taxes on some of that money now when rates are historically low, or later when rates are potentially higher? Whether you should pay taxes now or in the future depends on a lot of things. The team at Preservation Specialist knows what to look for. Our advisors can help you create a plan so your retirement is as tax efficient as it can be. Call 803-9-RETIRE to set up a visit with an advisor at Preservation Specialist. That's 803-9-RETIRE. When taxes go up, will you be ready? Call now, 803-9-RETIRE.
Securities offered through Arcadios Capital, member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Arcadios Wealth Preservation Specialists and Arcadios are not affiliated through any ownership.
The team at Preservation Specialists have put together a retirement rescue kit to help you get your plan started. To get yours, text the word RETIRE to 803-973-8473 right now. That's RETIRE to 803-973-8473.
Thanks for joining us today on Save Your Retirement with Pat Struby. Pat is the founder of Preservation Specialists, and I am Jen Rezac alongside. Now, the IRS tax code is full of thousands of sections. Each has its own definitions and rules and fees. And guess what? Even though there's all this information in here that probably not very many of us have actually read, we're legally bound to follow all the rules. So It's a lot of fun is how I'm trying to set this up for you right now, Pat. A lot of fun. Now, we all know that we need to file our taxes every year, even though it can be overwhelming and complicated due to all of the thousands of pages and sections and rules. But you say, Pat, there's a more proactive approach that pre-retirees should take. So explain the difference between getting our taxes prepared and tax planning and what that looks like.
Yeah, I think the important thing for us to remember, Jen, is that, you know, taxes are complicated throughout our lives. That's just, you know, the way it is. Like you said, there's thousands of sections that it's an endless tax code almost. But the main thing that I always want to convey is taxes in retirement is completely different than taxes when you're working. It's almost like night and day. And people have even said it's almost like there's two completely different tax codes. And the example that I would use is, especially if you are an employee for a company during your working years, you're just getting a W-2 at the end of the year, you know, so, and you want that to be as much as possible. You want to make as much as possible, right? So it's pretty straightforward. But in retirement, now that game has completely changed. Most people in retirement, if they're going to live on something more than Social Security, they might have, a married couple might have 4, 6, 8, 10 sources of income, and it's all coming from these different areas, and it's all taxed differently. So you actually have some control over how that's all going to be taxed. So coming back to your question, tax preparation is very important. That's either doing your own taxes or going to a CPA and making sure they're done properly. Hopefully you're taking advantage of, you know, some of the tax advantages that are there, and you're trying to make sure you pay as little taxes as possible. But that's based on what you did last year. Tax planning is we're looking into the future. So a terrific analogy is when you're driving in the car, which is the rearview mirror is looking at what's behind you, and that's tax preparation. That's taking a pile of stuff and either, you know, crunching your own numbers or handing it to a tax preparer. But the windshield is our tax planning. That's what people like us are looking to do. We're saying, okay, not that we don't care about what happened last year, what we really want to look at is there anything that we can be doing right now or planning that we can be working on to help you save taxes next year or 3 or 5 or 10 years from now? How do we make sure you and your loved ones pay as little taxes as possible over the next generation? Those are the things that tax planning can do, and hopefully it can make a huge difference in you and your family's lives and lifestyles.
Yeah. And, you know, as you talk about that, making a difference, hopefully for your family, for your lifestyle in the future, when should we start thinking about this, about getting proactive on tax planning for the future?
Well, the easy answer for me, Jen, is obviously today, because right, I'm a planner. So we joke about my 9-year-old Gabby. She has inherited it from me because she is, you know, she's always planning. You know, we do little post-its for the girls in their lunchboxes. Aww. And Gabby just started doing post-its for her younger sister, Isla, who's 7, which I thought was the cutest thing ever.
Cute.
Well, she told me on Sunday, she said, "Oh, Dad, I have to do all 5 post-its today because I have to have the week done ahead." So,
oh, goodness.
So she's a planner like I am. But I would say, you know, anyone, you know, even, you know, right as you're coming out of high school or college, you can be thinking some basic planning is to think about. Let's say you have access to your first 401k and you say, I want to start thinking about my retirement. I want to start getting that match from that employer. And they say, well, you can do a regular 401k or a Roth 401k. That's a huge decision for future tax planning. So that's, you're doing future tax planning there. Do I want the tax advantage now or do I want it later? So that's a great example. But I would say the most important time, Jen, is in an ideal scenario, you're at least 5 or 10 years out from retirement, because that gives us time to do some of the changing and some of the planning. We can still do it after you're retired. You know, we've done a lot of tax planning for clients actually in retirement, because as we got further into this, or maybe when they hired us, they were already retired. So they didn't have the chance to do the planning beforehand. So it can still be done. But of course, as you might imagine with anything financial, the more time you have to implement something, the more advantage that you can get from it. And that's the reason why we would always offer a tax analysis to listeners of our show. We'd offer that with no cost and no obligation. And basically what our tax analysis does is it kind of looks at where you're at right now, helps you understand how anything that you've saved for retirement, how it's going to be taxed. Is that being taxed every year? Is it tax deferred? Or will that be tax-free when you take that money out? And all three of those are really, really important to understand. So that's the first step, kind of where you're at right now. And then, of course, the next big step is there anything you can do to improve that so that you can pay less taxes in the future? So that tax analysis can have a huge benefit to you. And again, we'll offer that to listeners of the show at no cost or no obligation. To get started, call us at 803-9-RETIRE. Again, for your no cost, no obligation tax analysis, call us at 803-9-RETIRE.
Talking today with Pat Struby. He is the founder of Preservation Specialists, and I am Jen Rizak alongside. And Pat, as we talk a little bit about this whole idea of preparing taxes versus tax planning, we know that the tax code isn't set in stone, and it can certainly change from one presidential administration to the next. There are times when different tax policy changes are proposed in Congress as well. So how important is it to take advantage of current tax planning opportunities before we start to see some changes again? Because this is a message we've talked about a lot, the fact that changes are really likely coming for our tax code.
Yeah, this is so important, Jen, because, you know, I think one of the phrases I've read is that is tax policy is written in pencil. And so, you know, we can do the best we can for right now. And then, of course, we just need to be prepared to adjust for the future. And I think the point you're bringing up is, you know, we have a massive debt as a country. And every single expert on that topic says there is really only one solution to that, and that is that our income taxes are going to have to increase at some point in the future. So that tells us that while we don't know when and how much, we know probably in the short term, that's going to be the time where we really want to be looking at these types of things. So our dream scenario would be we want to be acting right now and maybe have a plan over the next 3 to 5 years to really be thinking about where you are right now and what we want to be looking at in the future. And if there's things like a Roth IRAs can have great tax advantages down the road, there's other plans that also do. Maybe converting from a regular IRA to a Roth IRA or from 401k type money to Roth could be really advantageous. And so I think, you know, the point you're making, Jen, is we don't know. We don't know politically what's going to happen.
Sure.
But we really want to be taking advantage of where we are right now, because most people believe it's quite possible that the tax brackets and the tax rates we have right now are the lowest any of us will see for the rest of our lives because of, you know, how much debt that our government has piled up. And so now is the time to be taking advantage of that opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the age when somebody has to start taking, I'm just going to ask some other kind of like tax related questions here. The age when someone has to start taking their RMDs, their required minimum distributions, that is now 73 years old. Talk a little bit about the impact that RMDs could possibly have on our taxes in retirement.
Yeah, this is another one of those examples, Jen, that, you know, when you're working and accumulating money and you're in your 20s or 40s or even early 60s, this is not anything you care about. It has a non-issue on your taxes. So everything is totally different when you're retired. And that's another example of why we always talk about how there's a lot of great financial advisors out there. But if you're close to retirement, in retirement, you really want someone who specializes and knows retirement, because there's great advisors for accumulating money that haven't dealt with required distributions, so they don't understand how that affects your taxes. So the required distribution rules have changed dramatically over the last, say, half dozen years. And, you know, you and I used to laugh on the show, Jen, that it was 70 and a half was when you had to start taking it, which is a ridiculous rule. So they finally changed that. And so now it's been bumped up to age 73. And so just for those listeners who may not be aware, if you have money that's tax deferred in something like a 401k or a traditional IRA, that's what this rule is targeting. And now once you reach age 73, every year for the rest of your life, you have a minimum amount you have to take out of that account. And Jen, a lot of people ask me, you know, why is that? That's crazy. Why would they do that? And there is no more simple answer other than the IRS is saying, hey, you've had enough tax advantages and we want you to start paying some taxes now.
Right.
That's really it is. What the politicians would say is that those accounts were designed for your retirement. They were not designed for you to have tax advantages to pass it on to the next generation. Right. So this is their way of doing that. So all of that is to say that minimum distribution could have a huge effect on your retirement and on your taxes. You know, we have some clients that use that money to live off of. So it's not that big of a deal because they were going to take it out anyway. But we have a lot of clients, they have no interest in paying that tax. So now they've got, you know, income coming from different sources. sources. Maybe they have a pension, Social Security, and things like that. And then now we have to dump this income on top of that from this money that they weren't even wanting to take. So the effect of the required distributions can have a huge impact on your taxes in retirement. And again, this is about having someone who has an expertise in income planning and tax planning in retirement. It also affects your investments because you're going to be forced to take money out of those different retirement accounts. So you need someone who can piece all of that together. And that's what we love to do, Jen. That's, you know, we love kind of taking the investments, the income and the taxes and putting those all together and having a plan that works together. And that's why we'll offer today for listeners of the show a no cost, no obligation tax analysis, help you take a look at what type of taxes you would be paying in retirement, including those required distributions. And then are there different planning strategies that we can put together to help you reduce those taxes down the road? And we've seen situations where you can save tens or even hundreds of thousands of dollars over time. To take advantage of that offer, call us at 803-9-RETIRE. Again, no cost, no obligation tax analysis. Call us at 803-9-RETIRE.
This is Save Your Retirement with Pat Struby. More insights from Pat are coming up next. Stay with us.
You've heard Pat on radio. Now you can see him on television. Tune in Sunday mornings during the 7 o'clock news on WIS-TV, Columbia's NBC Channel 10.
To schedule a visit for your own customized five-step retirement review, call right now, 803-973-8473. That's 803-9-RETIRE.
Thanks for joining us today on Save Your Retirement with Pat Struby. I am Jen Rizak, happy to be here alongside Pat. He is the founder of Preservation Specialists, author of the books Save Your Retirement and The Retirement Secret, and talking today a little bit about taxes in retirement, the IRS Comprehensive Taxpayer Attitude Survey. We're bold enough to survey our attitudes amongst taxpayers.
Well, they're the IRS. They can do whatever they want.
They can do whatever they want, and we'll just be happy about it. They found that about half of taxpayers used paid tax professionals. So a lot of people get help with that rather than doing it on their own. But who should we turn to when it comes to tax planning in retirement? I think this is another important part of this, Pat. I know we've talked about this before, but again, talk about the different types of financial professionals and the benefits of working with a retirement planner in some of these different areas of our finances.
Yeah. And by the way, I think that not only is the name of the survey hilarious, that's their attitude survey, but I think it's quite fascinating, actually, that it's about half and half, that people do their own taxes and half people have someone they're paying to do it. Because obviously we work with our clients to understand what they're doing with their taxes. So I've seen all kinds of situations and I wouldn't have known what it would be. So that's really interesting. So yeah, as far as financial professionals and how it is affected by retirement and taxes, I think two things stand out to me. First of all, if you have a financial advisor or financial professional of any kind, or even if you don't, but maybe you consider it occasionally, the first thing I will apologize for is our industry has a horrendous job of using titles. Pretty much anyone can say they're a financial advisor, financial consultant, wealth manager, wealth advisor. It goes on and on and on. So please understand that if it seems confusing, it's because it is, and we completely understand that. So the two distinctions that I think would be really important, the first one is the most obvious, which is most people in our industry like to call themselves some type of advisor, but many people in our industry really just want to manage your money for you. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that, as long as they're not misleading you. We've had people hire us that are looking for a comprehensive planner because that's what we do and that's what we love to do. But sometimes they hire us because they thought they were going to get that somewhere else. And then what ended up happening is the person was just managing their investments for them. So that's one big distinction. If you are considering hiring some type of financial professional, you want to find out, are they just going to manage your money or are they going to do more comprehensive financial planning? Because of course, that financial planning would include the tax planning. And by the way, there's different strokes for different folks. Maybe you just want someone to manage your money. That's totally okay. Just make sure you know what you're getting. And then the second piece is most advisors fall into one of two camps of being kind of a generalist, which I would say is more, we would call that kind of an accumulation planner. So that's somebody who's helping you grow your money. That's kind of what our industry was built on. Back years ago, that was more of a stockbroker. You don't hear that term thrown out much anymore, but someone who's going to be a wealth manager or help you accumulate your money. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. That's something that's completely appropriate for someone in their 20s and 30s and probably for people in their 40s. values as well. But as you get to within 5, 10, and depending on your circumstances, maybe 15 years from retirement, now your needs are going to be different because now you really need to focus on things that are important in retirement. How do you make that so very difficult transition from being in the long-term accumulation growth mode into how do I transition my financial life into preserving my nest egg and generating income off my nest egg? Now you need something that's more retirement focused. And that's where we talk about the taxes, that the tax planning in retirement is a complete night and day difference from when you're working. So you need someone who understands that. You need someone who understands how your Social Security can be taxed. You need someone who understands how you have required amounts you have to take out of some of your retirement accounts when you reach age 73. You need someone who understands how things will be taxed if you pass away. So all of those things are very different than somebody who's working with people in their 20s and 30s and 40s. So I know that was a lot, Jen, but I think those two distinctions are really important that we cover.
Yeah, I think so. And if we're thinking about retiring in the next few years, what are some things we should consider doing right now?
Yeah, I mean, the number one thing on most people's minds if they're a few years from retirement is their investments and their nest egg. And that is important because you really, let's say you're 3 years out, you shouldn't be investing like you just started anymore because you probably have a lot more at risk. And also you have a lot less time if something really dramatic happens, like a stock market crash or something like that. The second thing people are thinking about is their retirement income. What am I going to actually live off of? That's really important too. You know, we always say, the foundation to a successful retirement plan is a written retirement income plan. But as far as when we think about taxes, when you're a few years out, that's a great time to be working with someone like us that's a retirement planner that can actually show you, okay, here's the different places where you could pull money for retirement. So let's say you're married and you both have Social Security benefits. Let's say maybe one of you has some kind of pension or state retirement, and then you've got various 401k or IRA or things like that. Well, there might be, you know, 4, 5, 6 different places where we might draw money for you to live off of in retirement. And now what we need to look at is how are those going to be taxed? And so 3 years out is actually a great time to be aware of that, because if you're going to be paying more taxes in retirement than you realize, you need to know it the sooner the better. And then it also gives you time to see, well, maybe we can get some of that so you can pay less taxes in retirement. And that's what, you know, if you're a few years out, you really have the opportunity to take advantage of some of that planning.
So would you say, I've asked the question before, is it ever too early? Is it ever too late to get started on tax planning, really?
Well, it's never too late. It's certainly, the later you start, you know, the less options you have, right? But, you know, I've had people ask that question when they're 5 years from retirement, and absolutely not. That's probably the most common time for most of our clients. But even if you've been retired for 5 or 10 years, there's always things you can do to help with your taxes. And, you know, just like with investing, Jen, we always say the number one thing is we need to know what your goals are, because as long as you accomplish your goals, then you're handling your investments successfully. The same thing with your taxes. You know, maybe when you're 30 or 40, you have a certain tax goal. But when you're 75 or 80, you probably have different tax goals. Maybe you want to save on taxes this year, but maybe you're starting to think about maybe your kids are probably, you know, we always joke, a lot of people like the grandkids more than the kids, right? So maybe you're thinking about how do I leave something to the grandkids and help them save money on taxes? So now, not only were we just talking about your income and taxes and your investments all being tied together, but now we're adding in your estate plan as well. How do you leave more to your loved ones? So all of that comes together in any kind of comprehensive retirement planning. And that's the reason we call our initial review a 5-step retirement review, because it covers 5 different areas in retirement. And we offer that to listeners of the show today at no cost and no obligation. To get started, you just call us at 803-9-RETIRE. Once again, to get started, call us at 803-9-RETIRE.
Talking today with Pat Struby. He is the founder of Preservation Specialists, and I am Jen Rezac alongside, as we talk a little bit about being proactive here on taxes, putting together that strategy. Let's talk a little bit about the steps here. What goes into creating that tax-efficient strategy for your retirement?
Yeah, I think the most important thing to understand is if you don't do any tax planning, then you're probably going to pay more taxes in retirement than you realized. And I feel like someone that's about to retire now has been told their entire adult life, just defer all your taxes until retirement because you'll pay a lot less at that point. And now we're looking at a situation where people who have done that are paying way more taxes than they thought. And because our debt is so high as a country, most of us are expecting taxes to go up. So it could just get worse and worse. So what we want to do is just look at every way that we can reduce those taxes. We don't want you just having Social Security and then having like a big 401k or IRA that you draw off of. because not only is that 401k or IRA fully taxable, just like your regular income is while you're working, but it's also going to trigger taxes on your Social Security at very low thresholds. So it's very important to understand how high the tax can be. And then what we need to do is we want to try and figure out, can we make some of that income come in tax-free? You know, there's various ways to do that. And then one of the common things we do for clients is, how do we keep you in a lower tax bracket? So one of the big examples is, you know, let's say a bracket is 12% and then the next one's 22%. Well, if we can take you from a 22% bracket down to a 12% bracket, that is a huge, huge tax savings. So those are a couple of different things that we can do. We just want to make sure we are taking control of your taxes as much as possible. And then, of course, helping you pay as little in taxes each year as we possibly can.
So let's talk about some different strategies here that we can consider that can help us keep more money in our own pockets in retirement. Of course, that's the big goal for so many people out there.
Yeah, I think, you know, we had best-selling author David McKnight on the show in the past. We brought him in to speak to our clients, and I really love his, he has a nice, simple way of thinking about it. If you're in retirement or, say, getting close to it, or even if you're further away but you've been saving for retirement, just look at your nest egg and then think of them each falling into one of three tax buckets. The first one is anything that's just a taxable account. And so that's going to be anything like a CD you have at the bank or a brokerage where you get a 1099 on it every year. The second is tax deferred, so that's going to be like a 401k or a regular IRA. So that's going to avoid taxes until you take it out. And then the final one is something that's income tax-free, things like a Roth IRA or a Roth 401k. So you're not getting tax benefits up front usually, but then you're actually being able to take that out tax-free. So the first thing that we want to do is we want to look at, where are you at with each of those three? And then the bottom line is we want to try and figure out is, how in the world can we figure out how to get as much in that tax-free bucket as we can? Because David McKnight's book that's a bestseller is called The Power of Zero. And the whole point of that book is, if he can get you to the 0% tax bracket in retirement, well, that would be pretty good, right?
Yeah.
And David
yeah.
talks about how people expect that tax rates may have to double someday because our debt is so high. And so he says the beauty of the 0% tax bracket is doubling a 0% tax bracket is still zero. Now, it's not real easy to get in a 0% bracket, but man, it's a great thing, yeah. great thing to target. So those are the things that we want to do. You know, how do we get to tax-free? There's a lot of different ways to do that. Funding Roth IRAs, funding Roth 401ks, converting from regular IRAs to Roth IRAs. There's other things too involving insurance and things like that. A lot of different things that can be done. It really depends on what you're trying to accomplish and your biggest goals.
Let's talk about this whole idea of creating a plan that addresses taxes in the future when we don't know so much, Pat. We don't know what tax policies will be in place 20 or 30 years from now.
That's a great question, Jen. The best thing that we can do is plan based on what we know now and what we expect to happen in the future. And then also, just like diversification is so important with your investments, we always say there's no one perfect investment, so we need to divvy that money up. We think the same with tax planning. So each type of tax planning strategy that we have has its own pros and cons, and it has its own risk depending on what happens with tax policies. So for example, let's say someone is telling you to put all your money in Roth IRAs, and then someone else tells you, well, what if they get rid of Roth IRAs? Well, that's a great question, right? We need to be prepared for that type of thing. So most of our clients, Jen, aren't doing just one thing. We're trying to do two or three or four different things. And that way it's providing some protection in case things change, because you're absolutely right. Change is absolutely out there. And then, of course, the last thing we want to do is we want to have an active plan. Instead of just having a one-time plan that you forget about, having a planner like us to help you with the plan and then implement the plan and then manage the plan over time. That way, when things change, we're right there with you. So to take advantage of that type of tax planning, we'll offer you a tax analysis at no cost and no obligation. To listeners of the show today, call us at 803-9-RETIRE. Once again, call us to get started at 803-9-RETIRE.
We have more coming up on Save Your Retirement, but now it's time for today's Medicare Minute with author and Medicare expert, Tim Hanbury.
I wanted to discuss what's called a Medicare Advantage Medical Savings Account, or MSA. You may be familiar with plans called Health Savings Accounts, or HSAs, at work. MSAs are similar but have some interesting differences. With an MSA, instead of contributing to the MSA, the insurance company puts money into your account. For example, one plan has a $5,000 deductible, but the insurance company puts $2,000 into the account at the beginning of each year. These plans will have aspects which are like supplemental plans. You can go to any provider that accepts Medicare in the United States. You don't have any network of providers. And you need to purchase a separate prescription plan, as they don't cover prescriptions. But like Advantage plans, they have a zero-cost premium, and the insurance company handles all the claim payments, not Medicare. So if you're familiar with HSA plans, these plans will function in the same fashion. The difference is the insurance company is contributing monies into your account instead of you.
Visit Tim's website, MedicareBlueprint.com, to download a free copy of his book. Or if you would like to talk with Tim, call 803-9-RETIRE to schedule a consultation.
The team at Preservation Specialists have put together a retirement rescue kit to help you get your plan started. To get yours, text the word RETIRE to 803-973-8473 right now. That's RETIRE to 803-973-8473.
Thanks for joining us today on Save Your Retirement with Pat Struby. I am Jen Rizak, happy to be here alongside Pat. He is the founder of Preservation Specialists. He is the author of the books Save Your Retirement and The Retirement Secret, and he knows very well, because he's married, there are certain things that you're not supposed to bring up when you go out with friends, go to a dinner party. There are some things that are going to get you that elbow or that kick in the shin under the table, Pat. But here's what we're going to do today. We are going to talk about the top taboo topics for retirement. So we're just going to have to get real and talk about these things. What do you think, Pat?
I love this topic so much, Jen. And, you know, I think part of it is, you know, when you're younger and you don't want to offend anybody or anything like that, you get older, you say, you know, let's just get real.
Let's talk
about the real stuff. So I think this is going to be awesome.
I mean, it's the reality. There's stuff that it might not be the most fun, but it's important. The first one on our list today, I guess number five, as we work our way backwards, death. Thinking about death and dying, it's difficult in general. And it's just, Pat, not a fun conversation to have when you'd rather be talking about all the fun parts of retirement. But we have to do it anyway, right?
Yeah, you did not ease your way in.
No,
on the list,
I jumped.
Did you?
Yeah, no, hard launch right into it. That's right.
So let's talk about death. Let's talk about dying. I mean, this is part of any comprehensive financial plan.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because there are things we control and things we don't. And we don't know when we're going to go.
Right.
And that's just the way it is. So if you were to die, two things that, you know, the fork in the road I want you to be thinking about is, first of all, what would you want to happen? And second of all, how does that affect the people that you love?
Yeah.
And those are the two things we're going to talk about. And you are 100% right, Jen. No one likes talking about this. So let's talk about it. Let's get a plan together for it. And then we don't have to talk about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So let's talk about some of the things that are affected. So when you're younger, do you have kids? Do you have a mortgage? Well, there's probably some logic to having some life insurance.
Yeah.
If you were to pass away, especially if you're the main breadwinner. But certainly your spouse, even if they don't work outside the house, there's still a lot of value to what they do. So they may need that too. That's a quick example. How about legal documents? Do you have a will or a trust or something like that? Do you have beneficiaries on your accounts? Do you have ownership named properly? All this kind of stuff that the last thing we want to do is be going through these documents and figuring it out. But I bet there might be times when you're lying awake thinking, oh, if something happens to me, is that one going to be okay? Yep. Is that taken care of? And we've all heard horror stories of situations where someone, let's say, for example, gets divorced and remarries and forgets to change their beneficiaries and the money is going to the ex-spouse, right? So we got to do these things. And yeah, so part of our comprehensive plans is making sure your insurance is set up properly, your legal documents are set up properly. And part of the estate plan, Jen, if you're a married couple, part of the estate plan is making sure your spouse is going to be okay if something happens to you. So it's not just, estate isn't just things going to kids and grandkids and things like that.
Right.
It's also protecting each other. So those are the things I have that come to mind on that topic. It's really an important one.
Yeah. And you know, since you mentioned divorce, I'm going to skip down to that one because that is on our list of taboo topics also. Divorce and retirement. Over the past 30 years, the divorce rate after age 50 has doubled here in the U.S. And obviously, that is a tumultuous, difficult time in general. But talk about some of the financial challenges for people who divorce when they're getting close to or in retirement. And now we've got to talk about the retirement assets, and things are just really complicated financially at that stage of life if that's when a divorce is happening.
Yeah, when you think of divorce at retirement or close to retirement, I just think, Jen, oh man, I mean, we've talked on the show before. I really believe that, you know, right now is one of the most difficult times to retire in history when you have, you know, so much inflation, you have stock market risk, you have less pensions, you have concerns with Social Security, you have concerns tax rates are going up. And then to stack on top of that, think about, experts believe just a great number of people aren't prepared for retirement. Well, now you take whatever you have and you split it. Now you have to support two households. That's a really big struggle. Yeah. So it's complicated. Doesn't mean you can't solve that problem. But if you've divorced and you're near retirement, we need to be looking at, you know, all the things everyone needs to look at, but we need to be thinking about what are those assets that you have remaining. It's all the more important for those people to be aware of all the ins and outs of Social Security, because there are rules for your individual benefits. If you remarry, there's rules with your new spouse, and then there's also rules for your ex-spouse and how you might be able to claim off of their benefits. Mm-hmm. So it gets even more complicated with things like that. So you're really just, in that case, you just really need to be talking to someone who's an expert in retirement, not just a generalist, because you really are going to be getting into the nitty gritty. And of course, right, the last thing you can do is afford to miss out on benefits that you deserve.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is a really, again, not a super comfortable one, but important to talk about. The next one that I want to get into kind of goes hand in hand with that, but it's a little bit broader: relationships. Retirement can have an impact on your relationship with your spouse when you are home together all the time and getting on each other's nerves, with your kids and your grandkids. Your kids, especially if you have young grandkids, they might have some expectations for free babysitter now that grandma and grandpa aren't working. I mean, how important is it for pre-retirees to talk about boundaries when it comes to some of these things, or how much time they're going to be spending with their spouse, or how they're going to set up their day? I mean, your identity changes when you leave your job behind and you retire, and it's going to put a strain on your relationships.
Yeah, one of the biggest changes you'll ever have in your life is when you retire. And so it's going to be one of the biggest things that changes you and changes your relationships with your loved ones. And I can't help but think of the first time I realized that was early in my career. And there was a husband and wife, and the wife had either not worked outside the home, or she had been retired for a long time. Mm-hmm. And he had been a successful engineer, and he retired after 40 years. And they came in maybe a month after he retired, do some updates on their accounts and allocation. And he stepped out to go to the restroom. And I said, "So how are things going?" And she stares at me and she said, "He's driving me crazy." And then she went on to tell me every single example until the moment he walked back
and
in the room.
Like, "Oh my gosh, I'm sorry I asked."
And I said, "I was not prepared for this."
But
I mean, and it's a difficult one too, because unless you have a way of doing a trial run for retirement, like taking a month or two off of work somehow while you're still working, it's theoretical, right? Until you have the chance to actually do it. So yeah, it's a really good topic, and it's something that, what we find fascinating, Jen, when we're sitting down for our first meeting with someone to get to know them, we love to find out more about what they really want to accomplish or do in retirement, because that helps us get to know them, but it also helps us understand from a financial perspective, you know, how expensive that might be.
Yeah.
You know, if someone wants to go camping in a tent on the weekend versus someone wants to go jet setting to Paris, you know, those are two totally different things.
Right.
But sometimes, if there's a married couple, maybe those two people have talked about those things and they've kind of hashed that out, but a lot of times they haven't. So someone might say, "Oh man, I want to sell the house and buy an RV and drive around the country." And the other person says, "What are you crazy? I would never do that." Well, better to have that conversation before you retire than after, right?
Yeah.
So all of those things, and I think you bring up some great, great examples of, you know, watching the grandkids.
Yeah.
And I think some of our happiest clients are the primary caregiver to their grandkids, and they wouldn't trade that for anything. But certainly that's not for everyone.
Right.
And so really stopping and thinking about and talking with those loved ones about those expectations, those are really, really valuable conversations to have.
For sure. I have a friend who, when her mother retired, she just said, "Look, I don't want to become a full-time babysitter. I want to be able to do some of these other things." Well, then her sister stepped up and she wanted to watch the grandkids. Mm. Well, then it kind of turned into a, "Hey, wait a minute. Now they want to go spend time with Aunt Karen instead of me." But, you know, I mean, sometimes you also kind of change your mind after a little while into it. But just important to keep the conversation and the communication going. Keep the communication open.
Yes.
I think that's really important. Okay. I'm going to just go on down to our final one, number one on our list of taboo topics for retirement, Pat, is money, which is ironic because we literally talk about this all the time. But for some people, this can be kind of a taboo topic. They feel uncomfortable about it.
Well, and I think money being a taboo topic is, on the one hand, it's absolutely true because it's sensitive and we all think of money differently. We all choose, you know, what we choose to spend our money on says a lot about who we are. And it's scary to be judged by other people. I mean, that's just life, right? But on the other hand, I will give humanity credit in this regard, Jen. You know, I've been doing this for over 2 decades, and I see people being much more open about this than they used to be. You know, everyone's probably heard stories of the older generation passing away and then people going through and finding all kinds of things about finances that they never knew about,
right?
Because they were absolutely terrified of talking about money with their kids or anyone like that. We have so many clients now that maybe as they get into their 60s or 70s, they want to have the kids sit in a meeting and understand what's going on. And maybe that's big picture and not talking numbers, but maybe it's just saying, hey, here's where everything sits and having them involved. And I think, you know, I think those can generally be extremely healthy conversations.
Yeah.
And also, you know, we've had conversations with people where they're worried about parents needing nursing care or something like that. And I'm so thankful that we've never run into situations where the kids are trying to protect the money so they can inherit more. Every situation is always the kids worried about the parents getting good care and the parents wanting to make sure what they worked for goes to the kids. And so, you know, usually the family is in it together. That's an awesome thing. But like you said, it can be a taboo subject depending on how you're addressing it. And of course, if it's done right, I think a healthy conversation can be really, really beneficial.
For sure. And I think part of why it's so uncomfortable is you feel like you're being insensitive sometimes, but it's important for a wife to know what type of income she'll have if something happens to her husband. It's important for the kids to know what their dad's final wishes are if he becomes too ill or is unable to speak. And it's probably fair for them to ask some inheritance questions also. How do you help people get the answers they need, Pat, if they're worried about being nosy or coming off as cold-hearted? You know, I think maybe having a third party to help mediate some of that could be beneficial.
Yeah, I agree completely, Jen. When people are trying to figure out how to have answers in situations when it deals with money, you're exactly right. Having an independent third party involved, any type of financial professional, is really important. The second stage to that I would add is if you already have a relationship with them, that's going to make it so much more comfortable because it's not just someone you've just hired to have that conversation.
Yeah.
And that's the reason, you know, when we started Preservation Specialists all those years ago, the idea wasn't to have a firm that can do financial transactions for people. It was to build relationships. And, you know, when we sit down with someone that we've helped retire, that we've worked with for 5 or 10 or 15 plus years, it's so enjoyable to spend that time together and, you know, knowing that you're building that relationship. So if they're bringing you in to talk to their spouse or their kids or their grandkids, you know, you're talking to friends. And so that's really what we've built and what we love about working with our clients. And if you don't have a relationship like that with a trusted financial partner, call us at 803-9-RETIRE. That's the reason we offer our retirement review at no cost and no obligation to listeners of the show, to give you a chance to talk with one of our planners and see if that type of relationship would be valuable to you. Once again, to get started, there's no cost and no obligation, and you just call 803-9-RETIRE.
This is Save Your Retirement with Pat Struby. Thanks so much for joining us today. Be sure to tune in again next week for more insights from Pat, and we'll talk to you then.
Securities offered through Arcadios Capital, member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Arcadios Wealth. Preservation Specialists and Arcadios are not affiliated through any ownership.